Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I really am that you chose to be with me. We're going to look at knowing today. What does it mean to know? We're going to take a, maybe a cruise down that street and show that maybe we don't know, or we do. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as the TV programs that you see on the website at aspire.org, are there only because of sponsorship of people like yourself who make all of this possible with your tax-deductible gifts. It is only through your donations that we are allowed to continue through your sponsorship. And I want to thank my sponsors always for being so generous and kind as to allow all of this to happen for humankind. If you are not a sponsor, now is a very interesting and good time to become one. Our mystery donor, this is a man who's been with us for many, many years, and he has matched donations for the last 10, 15 years to help us with our cause here, as it were. And it's a necessary one because it's way out of the box and it needs to be there in this world. He will not only match your sponsorship, but if you give a donation, he will match that as well until the end of the year. So you're getting the benefit of being a sponsor of all of the beautiful things that I offer to my sponsors, the message of the month, the podcast, the video cast, the commentaries, as well as serving humankind. It's good karma. It really is. So I hope that you will consider being a sponsor. If you want to know more about all of this, please go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, and there you will see year-end donations. There's a little little cartoon we do every year, some Zen story we put up as a way of, well, thanking you for coming to the website and giving this consideration. You can make your sponsorship donation right there or make your year-end donation right there. It will be matched. And I want to thank you for even going there and giving this consideration. It's very, very important to us because, like all organizations, whether we like it or not, we have to pay the bills. We have airtime. We have many things to pay for to make this radio program possible. So I hope that you will help us. My computers are dying and we have to replace it. It's just, this has been a very, very challenging year to say the least. Okay, let's get on with it. Knowing. Now, what does it mean to you to know? What does knowing mean? For a lot of people, it means different things. Means that in their gut or where they come from in their gut, they just accept or adopt things and say, I know it. Let me give you the definition of it. Showing or suggesting that one has knowledge or awareness that is a secret or unknown to only a few people. Something that is done in full awareness or consciousness. I like that. Something done in full awareness or consciousness. Now that rings a bell for me. And the other one, suggesting that there is a knowledge that is secret or known only by a few people, to me seems a bit cultish. And I think that that kind of is why people think that anyone who meditates is a cultist. It's not. We'll get into the cult thing in a week or so. I have some emails about that, so we'll talk about that. But let's just stay with the knowing. So there you are. It's done in full awareness or consciousness. It is knowing things that the mind cannot think. A great deal of our inner work is about that. Let me get to the first question here. Greg, this is from Donald. He does not tell me where he lives. What does it mean to know the stuff you're talking about? How do we know? No, Donald. There would be nothing I could say to you. There could be nothing, absolutely nothing I could ever say to you that would help you know. There is nothing I can teach you that you don't already profoundly know in a part of your being that has been, I'm going to say it, neglected, misunderstood, forgotten. We give up the authentic knowing, the authentic knowledge of what lives within us for the sake of appearances, for the sake of our senses. And when I live by my senses, I miss the whole thing. I miss the meaning of my life. I miss what it is that I am to be doing in this lifetime, in this world. I miss the whole thing. So, in doing that, I lose awareness or consciousness, as it were. So what does it mean to know? Donald, this is such a beautiful question. And I don't know you, of course, so I am only going to be able to give you this in accordance with what I know. The way a person knows, the meaning of what it means to know, is to drop the mind. The mind can no longer be the thinking process that it has become in our life. The mind, it needs to become an awakening. The mind needs to become a presence that is beyond the idea of the skepticism of thought that occurs when I am pitting one thought against another. When I do this, I create duality. In duality, I can never know. Not ever. I cannot know when I'm in the duality of thought. What creates my duality? Fear. So, if I'm in fear, Donald, I can't know. All I can do is taint everything in fear. I can make everything a matter of fearfulness and taint everything in accordance with that and make it very, very ugly. I can be filled with the split mind, the mind that's in conflict with itself, fighting itself, and then go out into this world and start thinking, well, I should be this, I should be that, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. People are always looking for a method. They are not looking for the insight. They are only looking for the method. The method that is a no-brainer. People only want no-brainers. Well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me how I should think and I'll think that way. Tell me what is important and I'll do what is important. And we just do this over and over and over and over again, missing the whole thing. Never really understanding the way, the truth, and the light within us. So what does it mean to know? It means that without thought, without the barrier of thought, without the belief of thought, without thinking itself, we come to a certain place within us where things that are matter of life are revealed. When you come to one of my retreats, you have the opportunity to know that which you know. You have the chance to accentuate that in your life and get to the point where you can hear me teach without words. You can hear me offer you insights without thoughts. And once that starts to occur within a person, it distills within them consciousness. Then as they meditate and they work upon their meditations, letting go of mind, the resistance of mind in meditation, all of a sudden a flowering appears in the heart. Kundalini begins to grow in the base of the spine. Energy starts to rise up. Insights come without thought. Awakenings occur where you see the bigger picture of your life, the panorama of it all. Now, something of the other shore is reaching you. And as it continues to reach you more and more and more, you start to realize how beautiful this all is. And beauty is the highest truth there is. And there isn't anyone listening to my voice who could not understand this or could not have this experience. It all depends on what you're willing to give up. There is a great deal to give up, Donald, in the course of knowing, in the course of inner awakening. One has to give up pride and vanity, of course. They cannot be easily insulted. And they must want love more than wanting what they think is love. And if you can do any or all of that, a process begins to grow in us, all of us. That process is knowing. So, when a Socrates says, know thyself, you might begin to know yourself, not as the world gives it to you, but as your heart dictates. Donald, go take a look at A Life Worth Living. It is the teachings of Socrates and what it means to live in an authentic spiritual practice. It's on my website at aspire.org. Go look at TV programs. And if you do that, you'll see it there. And I think you'll find it very interesting about what it means to know yourself. Please forgive me. Thank you for your beautiful question. Namaste. It's a very important thing. Extremely important to understand the nature of what it is that you authentically exist in and are. And it's more than human, far more. Okay, the next question comes from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. Can any of us really know ourselves? I mean, really, Greg, beyond the idea of what our thoughts can teach? Thomas. Our thoughts don't teach, Thomas. They condition us. They're like a callus that we have in our head. We've rubbed the mind so much in mediocrity and in vanity and pride. We've just rubbed it so hard with all of those things, wanting and desiring and low self-esteem and all of that, that we've made it impossible for us to know ourselves beyond the conditioning that we live in. You're conditioned to believe many things. I know people like to think of themselves as a free thinker, but they're not. They're not free thinkers at all. They're stinkers, not thinkers. They think things that logically fit into their genetic heritage. And of course, DNA is very important. So it isn't like they get it. It isn't like they truly understand. Not at all. How do you know a self that does not exist? People like to think in terms of knowing themselves, but how do you know that which does not exist? You are not a self. Not at all. You live in a human carcass, and it has characteristics of genetic dispositions, genetic heritage. It is that. Now, if you are going to attribute personality to that or identity to that, you can. But that doesn't mean that's who you are. You live in a human carcass based in genetic heritage, run by DNA and the fears of our DNA, the fear of survival, etc., etc., for the sake of pure survival, and has no meaning in life at all. None. There is no meaning of life in my genetic disposition and my DNA other than just staying alive, as the Bee Gees said. Ha, ha, ha. That's what we do. Now, if you want to know what lives beyond all of that, which is the essence of you, the authentic you, you will have to calibrate your life differently. You can't calibrate your life based on what you see, the appearances of this world, the appearances of your body, the appearances of right and wrong, good and bad. You can't live in a dualistic mind and find the meaning of your existence. It cannot be done. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to live via that, then you're going to miss the whole thing. And that's what people do. And it astounds me, to be honest with you, Thomas, that people don't mind missing their life. If they are living in any kind of convenience or luxury, they don't mind missing their life for all of that. Anything that adorns the body, which is temporary, which lives in impermanence, that's what they want. I want lots of money and I want lots of luxury and I don't want to worry about people, objects, and things. I want security, financial, of course, and the rest will take care of itself. That's the way people think. I've been doing this for 45 years, listening to people and their craziness, and none of that, and I'm telling you, none of that is true. But it appears to be something that people know and they like and they want to keep it going that way. In doing this, we miss our entire life and we miss the meaning of what it is to live our life in compassion, in love, in consciousness. Remember, knowing is done in full awareness or consciousness. So what do you have to know? I'll tell you what it is. Thomas, please listen. You have to know you are not the body. You are not the carcass. You are not the DNA, and you are not the genetic nature. You are none of those things. You are that. That which lives within the body, within the carcass, as it were. You are something otherworldly. And while you came onto this earth, you had to come in a human form, because that's the only form that we can see here, the only form we will recognize. And we are missing everything because the pain and the pleasure of the body removes us from the meaning of our existence in the body. And because we're so dualistic in that, pain and pleasure, because we are afraid of the body and the pain it can bring to itself, we think that that is who we are. I cannot talk anyone out of this. All I can do as a teacher is lay a hint here and a hint there. That's all I can do. Here's a hint, there's a hint. Here's a possibility, there's a possibility. Here's the way it could be, there is the way it could be. That's all I can do. I can just point. What people do is when I point, they bite my finger. They make it an issue. They want to fight and contend with the idea that they are merely human, and they don't want to go any further than that. And I am not here to debate with them. I'm here to show them, to point my finger at the way. So, Thomas, know beyond yourself. I'm taking it a little further than Socrates. Know a little further beyond yourself. You too might benefit from looking at the TV series, A Life Worth Living. I think you'll find it rather interesting. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Laura. She says she lives in California. Can I know God, Greg? Laura. No, Laura. As long as there is an I, there can be no room for God. The authentic, the presence, the oneness, the life force. There can be no room for it. So how can you know God when you are stepping in the way and saying, well, God lives within the me? Well, who is this me or who is this I? And if that were true, would you need a me or an I? Hardly. In meditation, there comes a very delicate moment. A very delicate moment where you have to give up the assertion of thought and the premise of nouns and adjectives. And totally let go. It feels like dying, but you're not. And as this begins to occur, this process, this profound sense of knowing, of awareness, of consciousness takes over. And now it's no more a matter of thought or belief or theory or concepts. It is a matter of love. You literally fall in love. And this is the most profound moment of a person's life. When they know the difference between love and their thoughts of love. Everything changes in that. This beauty lives within you. This beauty is you. And if you practice it with diligence, you will never be fooled again, ever again, by the matter of matter, as I like to call it. Then this idea of a God, this idea of a me or a you, is no longer necessary. It becomes antiquated, obsolete. Because you have the direct experience of it. And it brings you to the culmination of the meaning of your life, the existence of your livingness. And it is really what we're here for, to have that beautiful direct experience. I give this to my students at workshops, at retreats, meditations I make for them, the Tibetan pulsing meditations, the teachings, the gestalt therapy. It's all there. The question really isn't, can I know God? Laura, the question is, will you come and find out? Will you come to the direct experience? Will you let go of your fear, your anger, your hostilities? Will you let it all go? For the sake of love itself, will you seek love? A love that is beyond the love that you want to believe. Will you? That is the real question. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here, running a little late. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.